Hello, hi, how are you? It's the end of another week of Up to Date from WVIA News. I'm Kat Bolas, your last host to fill in this week for Sarah Cinto. You heard from Isabella Weiss and Lydia McFarlane, and now it's my turn. The news team bounced around the region this week. Some of us spent Tuesday in Williamsport during the Little League World Series Grand Slam Parade. Some of us spent time in Bradford County. Others, and by others I mean me, spent time in Lackawanna and Luzerne counties. Lydia McFarlane spent time with mosquitoes, and then with Deputy Editor Roger Dupuy to discuss what she learned from the pests. Take a listen.
I'm Roger Dupuy. And this is News Voices. I'm here today with WVIA News health reporter, Lydia McFarlane. Good morning, Lydia.
Hey, Roger. Good morning. Thanks for having me.
Absolutely. Glad to have you here. And we're going to talk today about mosquito-borne illnesses, which you have just recently written about. And I know the name that comes into everyone's head is West Nile virus, and we are in the midst of the West Nile virus season. But that's actually not the most serious concern in our region this year. So tell us about that if you could.
Yeah, so West Nile virus is something that the State Department of Environmental Protection, or DEP, deals with every summer. So this isn't a surprise, and actually West Nile cases are down compared to last year. And the folks that I talked to said that their estimation is it's probably because of how wet this spring and summer season has been, which kind of is not great breeding grounds for West Nile virus. But on the other hand, it is good breeding grounds for a different mosquito-borne illness called Jamestown Canyon virus. And that is in Luzerne County, and Luzerne County has the highest cases of that virus in the state. A few other counties do have cases, but Luzerne County's is the highest. The past 3 years in a row, Luzerne County has been the first in the state to record Jamestown Canyon virus cases.
Okay, and what is the difference or the similarities between those two illnesses?
So they're pretty similar. I think that the only real difference that my sources told me was the way that they're transmitted. So West Nile is through birds, whereas Jamestown Canyon is through mammals, typically deer. So the mosquitoes will get the virus from birds for West Nile versus deer and mammals for Jamestown Canyon.
Mm-hmm. All right. I want to go back really quickly. So it seems a little counterintuitive to say that a wet season would actually not be favorable for West Nile virus, which is spread by mosquitoes. So what makes this less favorable for the spread of the virus?
So they said that the wet season makes it so that birds don't necessarily have to travel as far to get water, if that makes sense. So the birds are kind of concentrated in one area and not spreading the virus through the state.
Okay, makes sense to me. Again, back to these two diseases. What are the symptoms? What would folks normally see if they were to be infected with either West Nile or Jamestown Canyon virus?
So both have pretty similar symptoms when contracted by humans. In most cases, people are actually asymptomatic. So my sources said that they think that numbers are likely actually higher. Human cases are actually probably higher in the state, even though only two have been recorded, because most people are asymptomatic. But then in more serious cases, you'll have flu-like symptoms. And then in very serious cases, it could be fatal. But that is very rare.
Right. And I am just looking back at your story as we talk. According to the Centers for Disease Control, 1 in 5 people develop a fever and other symptoms if they're infected, but only 1 in 150 are expected to develop a serious illness that could become fatal.
Right. So it's not necessarily a concern of DEP or the health department that we're going to have any fatalities this summer, but they still want to make sure that people are protecting themselves, because the best way to protect yourself from, you know, that potential fatality or potential illness is to not get bit.
Right. And looking at your story, that's exactly what you said. So what are some of the steps people can take to not get bitten? And I can tell you, for example, in my driveway in Wilkes-Barre, there's some grass at the edge of the driveway. I will get in my car and I get bit without fail.
Yeah, so they suggest bug spray, staying away from the tree lines because the mosquitoes will concentrate around dusk and dawn at the tree lines. And if you are going out during dusk or dawn, just try to cover up. So long sleeves and long pants, even though it's hot out. That's the risk we have to take if you're going to wear shorts and short sleeves. So just protect yourself, cover yourself up, and hopefully you could protect yourself from those bites.
Okay, Lydia, makes sense to me. You can read more about this story on our website at WVIA.org.
On August 14, 1935, President Franklin D. Roosevelt signed into law the Social Security Act. 90 years later, Social Security employees marked the anniversary with a rally in Plains Township. The union members demanded a fully staffed Social Security to ensure high-quality service and timely distribution of benefits.
Social Security strong!
President Trump's administration cut more than 7,000 Social Security employees this year. Employees at the Wilkes-Barre Data Operations Center, known as the DOC, serve people all over the United States. It's one of the largest Social Security operations in the country, and they've lost about 14% of their workforce. Brenda Oxford answers questions about people's benefits nightly.
So it's been hard. It's been a transition. It's been low morale. Outside of it affecting me at home.
She says they're working overtime on weekdays and weekends.
I don't see how that equates to savings. I think it equates to burnout.
Barry Sue Bryant represents those employees like Oxford. She's president of the American Federation of Government Employees Local 2809.
That they know that they're not going to make deadlines now. That they know that there's more there than they could possibly handle. They are stressed all of the time.
National union leaders stopped in Wilkes-Barre on Thursday during a bus tour. Here's Jessica LaPointe. She's president of AFGE Council 220.
We serve widows, orphans, the elderly, disabled, every vulnerable soul in your families and your communities, and they deserve respect and dignity when they come for their earned benefits. So happy birthday, SSA, and here's to another 90 years. Let's do this. Let's win this fight.
President Trump released a proclamation Thursday in which he says he will always defend Social Security. The president said that his administration's efforts made Social Security stronger and more resilient than ever before. Reporting from Wilkes-Barre, I'm Kat Bolas, WVIA News. Okay, time for a break.
We report to you. I'm Sarah Cinto of the WVIA News Team. Every day we strive to amplify your voices and stories. Find us on air and online at WVIA.org.
Each Friday, Lisa Mazzarella, who just celebrated 32 years at WVIA, congratulations, interviews a nonprofit organization doing incredible work in Northeast and Central Pennsylvania. Today, she sits down with representatives from Coffee Inclusive, located in Pittston.
Coffee's on at Coffee Inclusive in Luzerne County with some incredible perks. Opportunity, new skills, and recognizing the ability beyond disability. Frank Bartoli, CEO of Coffee Inclusive, and barista Christina Wesley take the story from here.
Coffee Inclusive is a community initiative essentially to employ and train people with intellectual disabilities and autism in a real-world environment of a coffee shop. We train high school students with disabilities how to make coffee, how to make smoothies, how to bake baked goods, and we employ adults with intellectual disabilities and autism to do the job of a barista or a baker. And it's blended with individuals that don't have disabilities as well. So you have a mixed workforce of individuals, as our slogan says, changing lives with every cup.
Now, how's that wonderful blend of differences and different personalities? How's that working out?
It's a great vibe. I mean, what we learned in the process was when we hired people with disabilities to do the work, we had anticipated that they may need some additional support, like job coaches and things of that nature. Most of the individuals that we employ can do almost all of the job without any additional support. And the baristas and the bakers without disabilities kind of serve in that job coaching way, and it works really well. It's really a great vibe.
Christina, you have the awesome job of being a barista at Coffee Inclusive. So tell me what your job is like.
I love it. It's great.
So what is a typical day like for you at Coffee Inclusive?
I work 7 to 11. I love it. Mondays to Wednesdays, and then Saturdays I work 8 to 11. I just love working with everyone.
What's your favorite part of the job?
Making smoothies, making espresso shots.
We have breakfast sandwiches, sunrise sandwiches, bacon, egg, and cheese on a bagel or on a croissant. We have something called energy balls, right? You want to explain what an energy ball
is? Energy ball is granola, peanut butter. You mix like everything together.
So it's a healthy option for either breakfast or lunch.
Christina, you've learned a lot in making different types of coffee, smoothies. It's nice to be able to do something well and then get a paycheck for it. How long have you been with Coffee Inclusive?
2 years.
Oh, wow. That goes by quickly.
Yes, it does.
Frank, tell us about the rhythm of the place and the camaraderie between the workers at Coffee Inclusive.
A barista will show up, you know, with a disability and one without, like Chrissy, and they've got an opening procedure and a process where, you know, when you're ready to open the building, you've got to be ready for the public, so they're there ready to go.
Now, you could have chosen from a lot of different types of themes and ideas. Why did you choose Coffee Inclusive?
That's a really good question. You know, a coffee shop concept is something that had been pretty prevalent in the disability community for a long time. We wanted to be able to help train and get these individuals up to speed with what it would be like if they got jobs in the community and other food service businesses.
I think I learned a lot, making different things.
It makes you feel independent, doesn't
yes.
it?
Yes.
Yeah. And getting a paycheck is not too bad either.
Nope.
We feel that will help create awareness and education of the community businesses that people with disabilities do have inherent value to be good employees. We think that over the course of time that people will see people with disabilities in a different light and will open up more doors for them.
Special thanks to Frank Bartoli, CEO of Coffee Inclusive, and barista Christina Wesley. Hear more of the story on our podcast, wvia.org/community. I'm Lisa Mazzarella.
Well, that gets you up to date. Thanks for listening. I'm Kat Bolas. And as always, find these stories and more on WVIA.org. Have a good weekend.